Maestro, please.
Kind of science-y there. But in all of the stories of BP and politics and the off-year elections, you might have missed some of the incredible headlines that occurred in the world of science. We're going to take a look at them. In principle, among those, Tejinder Verdi, professor of physics at Imperial College London, was the Large Hadron Super Collider, which really went online this year and actually began to do some science. Quite a year for you, eh?
Yes, indeed. It's been a very exciting and a very productive year.
And it was in equal parts getting the machine to work and then getting the windows on the subatomic world to clear up so you could actually see something. Was it?
Yes, indeed. Both the experiments and the accelerator are perhaps the most complex scientific instruments ever built. And we started in March colliding protons. These are nuclei of hydrogen at about 7,000 giga electron volts. That's something like 7,000 times the mass equivalent energy of the proton, for example. That's over three times higher than previously achieved. And in fact, we started with protons colliding at a rate of about 70 per second. And a couple of months ago, when we stopped the proton-proton run, we had ended up at something like 10 million collisions per second. And so the experiments and the accelerator are actually working extremely well. And the experiments like CMS, the experiment I'm on, are taking data at very high efficiencies and close to 100% of the detector working perfectly. These are these complex instruments, so that's very, very pleasing.
A milestone for next year before we go?
In fact, we've used the data to demonstrate that we can measure and reproduce known physics pretty well. And that augurs very well, because if we can't reproduce known physics, then we can't claim that we're seeing something new. Now, we've started exploring new territory as well, territory beyond that at Fermilab, for example, the accelerator near Chicago. We've searched for fleeting particle called the supersymmetric particles. The lowest of the species might be a candidate for dark matter in the universe. We've looked for evidence of extra dimensions. We haven't found any yet. But I think the good performance and the deep understanding of the accelerator and the experiments provides a very solid platform for 2011. And we do indeed hope to make groundbreaking discoveries if nature is kind enough. But these are early days. One should remember that the program of the LHC is going to be a two-decade-long program and includes search for these things. The other things we did this year was to collide lead ions. These are nuclei of lead. Against each other at very high energies, about 10 times higher than previously done. These nuclei actually have about 200 protons and neutrons. They collide head-on very high energies. And in fact, they essentially melt into a soup of quarks and gluons. This is a state of matter that should have existed a microsecond after the Big Bang.
All right, so taking a look at the Big Bang, which is exactly what the Large Hadron Collider proposed back in 1989 was supposed to do. It's been quite a year. Tejinder Verdi, good luck to you and have a happy new year.
Thank you.
He's a professor of physics at Imperial College London, one of the people who proposed that Large Hadron Collider. Joining us now is Michio Kaku, theoretical physicist, professor, author of the forthcoming book Physics of the Future, and host of Sci-Fi Science on the Science Channel. Michio, good morning.
Morning.
What's the biggest science story of 2010 in your view?
Well, I think one of the biggest stories is extrasolar planets orbiting other stars in deep space. So far, 500 such planets have been identified, one of which actually has a habitable zone. In other words, it may even have a liquid ocean. Now, this is a game changer. In the future, when we look in outer space, we'll realize that there are going to be perhaps hundreds of Earth-like twins in space, and we'll wonder whether anyone is looking back at us from outer space.
And we know where to look to see who's looking back at us. Does this go along with the arsenic-based life discovery, which suggests there might be something besides the strict carbon-based life forms that we know here on Earth?
Well, they complement each other. The discovery of all these extrasolar planets and the discovery of this new form of DNA, which forces us to revise every single biology textbook on the planet Earth, forces us to open our eyes to the possibility of, well, alien life forms, alien chemistry. Arsenic is the component that is found in this new form of DNA found outside Yosemite Park in California, not in outer space, but in California. And it really opens our eyes to the possibility that there could be radically new kinds of chemistry in outer space that support life.
Now, the Hadron Super Collider and Tejinder Virdi suggested that in 2011 they may discover, these heavy particles, which might actually confirm super string theory. Do you think that's going to happen? I guess it's the Higgs boson is the thing they're looking for?
Well, in the short term, they hope to find the Higgs boson, which is the last missing piece of a jigsaw puzzle called the Standard Model. But beyond that, we hope to find dark matter, which is 10 times perhaps more plentiful than ordinary matter. It's an invisible form of matter. And we think it could be a higher vibration of the superstring. That's what I do for a living, by the way. That's my day job, working on string theory.
Working on string theory. And does the fact that they discovered all of these huge number of stars that they had not previously counted, that was a telescope that detected these way out in the edge of the universe, does that help solve the dark matter problem?
Well, yes and no. Dark matter is missing matter that's invisible. However, we have found red dwarf stars that are very dim, therefore not easily seen by telescope. And we now realize that there could be a lot more red dwarf stars out there in outer space than previously thought. But dark matter is even more plentiful, believe it or not, and it actually holds the galaxies together. So every time you see a picture of a galaxy, think of a halo 10 times larger than the galaxy itself, which holds the galaxy together.
That's Michio Kaku, theoretical physicist and professor and author of the forthcoming book, Physics of the Future, Day Job String Theorist. Can I ask you about two stories that caught my eye, but nobody around here thinks they're terribly important?
Well, shoot.
Antimatter atoms were created.
That's right. At CERN, Geneva, Switzerland, they were able to combine anti-electrons with anti-protons to create anti-hydrogen. We've also done that outside Chicago at Fermilab. And one day, not anytime soon, one day we may actually be able to create antimatter engines, which may take us to the stars. Antimatter engines would be 100 times more efficient than a typical nuclear reaction like in the sun. And it is the largest energy source in the universe.
All right. Before we go, and we've got literally a minute and 35 seconds, and we can't even use all that, what do you think of this paper that was published earlier in the year that gravity may not actually be a force? It may be a complicated mathematical structure more related to the theory of thermodynamics, completely changing the way the gravity problem is looked at. What do you think of that?
I think that's a paper proposed by a colleague of mine, Professor Verlinde, in Holland.
Yep.
However, we physicists are very conservative until we are faced with evidence that is absolutely airtight. And right now we have no airtight evidence to support this theory. As I said before, the leading theory is still string theory. And Verlinde, by the way, is a pioneer in string theory. And we hope to find some kind of relationship between string theory and the new theory being proposed by Verlinde. But, the jury is out because there's no experimental proof.
Well, a lot of jury's out in 2011, but it's going to be an exciting science year, and you'll be in the middle of it all. Michio Kaku is theoretical physicist and professor and author of the forthcoming book, Physics of the Future. He's also the host of Sci-Fi Science on the Science Channel, a job I'd love to have. Michio, thanks so much.
Okay, anytime.
Science in 2011 and Science in 2010. Tomorrow, our series looking back to 2010 and forward to the year ahead continues. We'll talk about the year in books with our friend Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor at Essence Magazine. Got a recommendation? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is out for the holidays. Scientifically speaking, this is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.